Hey, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for having me here. Well, after I hear Pastor Wilson, Pastor John, and the video, right, I think I'm done already, guys. I think I'm done. And I love the way you guys honor mothers. And, you know, in my mind, as I was watching and listening, I was like, I need to be here on Father's Day also. I need to bring my husband here on Father's Day and let him, you know, be honored as well. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm just so glad and so honored to be in the house this morning. I just want to, you know, thank the production team and thank you, Jane. I don't know, Jane, if you're somewhere around here. Thank you so much. I don't know if you guys know, but even before, you know, a speaker comes out to preach, so much is happening behind the scenes. You know, they ask me for my slides and they prepare and they look through and they test. You know. So thank you so much for so many of you, right, who have been working behind the scenes even before this morning started. And, you know, thank you to those online who are tuning in. Thank you for joining us. I really pray today's word is going to bless you. And happy Mother's Day to all of you. Thank you so much for being here on this special day. If you can just look left and right, maybe you see a mom that you know, maybe three rows behind, just give a wave or give a thumbs up, okay? And just wave and, you know, let's just appreciate one another and what mothers do. I know I appreciate my mother. She's coming for the 11 o'clock service later. Okay? So thank you so much, mothers, for just loving and showing us what God's love really looks like. And really today, I think for me, it's very, very special to be here. Extremely meaningful for me to be here. Because 1 year ago, this time, I was actually diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. And it was a shock. It was a huge shock. Just in March last year, when the doctors told me and my husband and said, unfortunately, it's cancer, we were stunned. You know, we were really, really stunned. And in that season, it was really, I would say, one of the darkest seasons of my life, one of the darkest seasons of my family's life. But in that season, it is also where God's light and God's presence was the closest. Truly, truly the closest. It's so ironic. The darkest season was also the brightest season for my family. And at that time, actually, Pastor Wilson was one of the first to contact us. You know, he was so kind. He called us and he said, come to my office and come. And so Norm and myself, and we went to his office just upstairs and together with his wife, Evelyn, and they just prayed for us in that season. In a time where I think we were just a few days into finding out that I had cancer, and they just prayed for us and just showed us God's love and just gave us so much hope at that time when we didn't even know how extensive the cancer was. And I just thank them, you know, for showing us what a family looks like in God's kingdom and just walking through and just journeying with us. And praise the Lord, because now 1 year later, I am cancer-free! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This was just taken in March this year when my family and I, we went on a trip to Bali to celebrate because the doctors just gave me a 1 year all clear from cancer. And you know, God is so good. Yes, let's praise the Lord. Really, really. I mean, I would love to. That's like a totally different story that I can spend a whole sermon sharing with you on God's goodness, really, in my life. This is my family. That's Pastor Norman, who's also my husband, as well also our senior pastor of our church. And those are our three children. Joshua is the one in the middle. He's the eldest. Benjamin is second. And Kate is third. And today, I'm really here to share with you as a mom, as a fellow parent. And I want a disclaimer first, okay? Whatever I share, it's not because I've got it all right, but I think the Lord has just given me a word that I hope will bless all of you. And it's not that my family has it all figured out, but I think we're walking this journey together as fellow parents, right? And we're supporting one another on this journey with God's goodness and God's testimony. I was just sharing with Pastor John just now. I said, I can tell you how the Lord spoke to my children, you know, during the cancer journey. And so even as I come here today, I just believe I have a word for the mothers. I have the word I hope will be a word that will encourage you on your God-given assignment as moms. Not just to your children, but truly to an entire generation. And I want to say, if you're not a mom, this word is also for you. Why? Because all of us have someone that we come in contact with who is of a generation younger than us. Whether you're a dad, whether you're a grandparent, you're an aunt, you're an uncle, you're a teacher, you're a youth leader, whether you're a neighbor, we all come in contact with someone who is younger than us. And so I really pray that this message is going to bless you today. And with that, can you just join me as I just quickly pray and just give the Lord this message? Then let's pray. Father, I just commit this message into your hands. Lord, all that I speak, God, may you take and just plant it in the hearts of people. I pray for just open ears and good soul today. Lord, that everything that I speak may be of you. Anything that is not of you, that you will take this away. And Holy Spirit, would you come in this moment? Come in this moment, Lord, as we tune in to what you want to say. They may hear my voice, but they will listen to your words and they will feel it in their hearts and they know it in their spirit. So Holy Spirit, I just commit this entire message to you. Would you come and speak and do what only you can do? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, today's message comes from the book of Judges chapter 2. This is actually a verse that was something that the Lord put on my heart quite early in my ministry. And I've carried it for really quite a long time, okay? And so, Judges chapter 2, verses 7 to 10, let me read it for us. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work the Lord had done for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years. And they buried him within the boundaries of his inheritance in Timnah Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gash. And all that generation were also gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. Here we're talking about the mighty leader, Joshua. I mean, my son is named Joshua, right? So I would know, right? The mighty leader, Joshua. He is the one, you know, one of the 12, right, who went out and scouted the promised land. He and Caleb were the only two who came back with the good reports, who came back with a hope and a confidence in the Lord. Joshua is the one who saw the waters stop and cross Jordan River on dry land. He is the one who saw the walls come down on Jericho, right? We tell our children the stories, the walls come down on Jericho, right? And he is the one who saw the sun stand still. Amazing, mighty leader, Joshua. And an amazing work of God in their generation. They saw the Lord move in so many mighty ways. Huge ways. But yet, what happened at this time? Because when we look at verse 10, nearing the end of the life of Joshua, in Judges 2 verse 10, it says, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. How come? What happened? When I read this, I was like, huh? What happened? This is the faithful assistant to Moses. The whole generation saw. Why is it that the generation that came did not know the Lord or the works that he had done? And as I read this, I really feel this must be a wake-up call for all of us. This is not just something that happened in the Bible long, long, long time ago. We must be mindful. Whether you're a parent, you're a youth leader, whether you are an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, we must be mindful. We cannot be complacent to think that we go to church, so our children will go to church. We serve, so our children will be okay. We are faithful, and our younger generation, our youths, our young adults, they will be okay. Because this is what the Lord is showing us. We cannot be complacent. You know, it's very easy when our kids are young, right? We go to church, so they also follow. Everywhere we go, they also follow. But what happens? How many of us? Maybe it's not us, maybe someone we know. When they hit upper primary, when they hit youth, when they hit young adult, suddenly God becomes optional. Suddenly church becomes a chore. Suddenly the things of the world become more important. And we ask ourselves, where did we go wrong? Did we go wrong somewhere? And I believe the Lord is stirring us to think, are we in this position now? What can we do today? Because this is very much upon the Lord's heart. Why? Because God is a God of generations. All right, God is a God of generations. This is what he told Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 15. And God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name, not temporarily. This is my name forever. The name you shall call me from generation to generation. This is in his name. The generations are upon his name. The Lord is concerned not just for you, but the generations that come after you. And guess what? He's put this mandate on all of us. All of us. Whether you're a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, we all have this responsibility as children of God because he is the God of generations. This is what it says in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. And this is what the Lord says, only be careful and watch yourself today so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after that. What is the word saying here? That we in this generation, however old you may be, we must first be careful and remember what our eyes have seen and what our heart has known of the Lord. Here it says, right, don't forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart. But beyond that, teach them to your children and your children after them. This is so important. We need to know what the Lord's word is and what the Lord wants to tell us. And then it goes on, right? The question we need to ask ourselves then, are we teaching our children and the children after that? And you know, it's quite ironic, right? So you catch attention here. At one point earlier in the verse in Judges, we saw that a generation after Joshua did not know the Lord. So that's the reality of what's happening. But on the other hand, something wrong, but God did tell us that we need to pass the message down. So where is the disjoint? You get what I mean? Here you see in Deuteronomy and Exodus, the Lord is so clear and Moses is telling the people, right? And they're telling people, pass the message down. Make sure your children know. But the reality, they don't know who the Lord is. And I think the question we need to ask ourselves today in this day and age is there a departure of faith happening in our families, in our churches, and in our nations today? Because what the Lord shows us in the Bible is not just meant to be a history book. This is a real question we need to ask ourselves. Is there a departure of faith happening in our families, in our churches, and in our nation today? You know, in America, 64% of Americans self-identify themselves as Christians. But this number continues to decline. While it is very difficult to measure really someone's level of faith or how much they are following Jesus, the question was asked, are you then a follower and disciple of Jesus? And the response came back, only 4% said that they are. 64% said that they are Christians, but only 4% said that they are disciples and followers of Jesus. How about in Singapore? In June 2021, CNA published the results of the Singapore Population Census, which surveyed 150,000 households in Singapore, Singaporeans and PR aged 15 and above. And you know what the results found? That 20% of Singapore residents have no religion, an increase from the last population census 10 years before that. In fact, the numbers will show that the no religion percentage was 17% before and 20% in 2020. And this increase of 3% is actually the highest across the different brackets. The highest increase is the no religion increase, guys. And you know what? Not just that. Dr. Matthew Matthews, who is one of the lead researchers, he said this in the article. If I can go to the next slide. He said, the principal research fellow at Institute of Policy Studies says, this trend is an expected trajectory. The trend has been seen in many societies where there is a shift away from organized religion as people become more entrenched in the secular world. Religion as an institution is no longer playing a major role in one's life, and so fewer people will pass down their faith to their children. Guys, you see what's happening? What we read in the time of Moses and Joshua? Compare that to what is happening today in our own nation. The decline of faith. Is there a decline? Is there a departure of faith even in our families, our homes, and our churches? Our friends at Thirst helped us to deep dive this even further. If you look at the split across demographics, the proportion of residents with no religion affiliation by age group, you would see that those in the age group of 15 to 24 years grew from 21% to 24.2%. Those in the age bracket of 25 to 34 years grew the highest, from 19.9% to 26.2%. These two are way higher. The percentage of people who are identifying as no religion are way higher than our senior generation of those 55 and above. This is something that we need to take note of. And this, if I can humbly say, is not just a responsibility to the children ministry or the youth ministry or even to my pastors only. Why? Because number one, they are only with them, 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours a week. But more than that, because the Lord has told us it is our duty as mothers, as fathers, as family to disciple our children. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, this is what Moses is telling the people. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Basically, this is bobezawan, okay? You need to have it on your forehead, on your hand, when you lie down, when you walk, when you sit up, when you get out of the house, when you come back home. This is what we need to do. We need to impress this on our children. You know, the word love here, when it says love the Lord, the word love here in Hebrew is this word ahev. And ahev means to love in action. Not just knowing, but in action. With loyalty and obedience. When we love the Lord, we act in obedience. And the word impress is the word shanan, which is to teach by frequent repetitions, which is why you saw, right? Do this, do that on your doorpost, and when you stand up and when you lie down and all that. Because it's by frequent repetitions that we need to teach our children. It is intentional. It has to be intentional. And fellow parents, I want to humbly ask, how seriously do we take the word of the Lord? Because I also had to wrestle this as I prepared the message. I felt God was also asking me, how seriously do I take this message when the Lord says, everything you do, love the Lord with every action and impress this on your children. And I had to wrestle and I had to ask the Lord as well. You know, as fellow parents, we wake our children up 6 a.m. Wake up, wake up, wake up, go to school, late, ready, faster, brush teeth. Right? Faster, rush to school. Every morning is a hurry. But then what happens on Sundays? Maybe we stroll into church 5 minutes late. It's okay lah. 5 minutes only. It's okay. Right? Oh, you know what? Exam season. I don't know about you, but my eldest is going through weighted assessment, right? Wow, we do all the assessment books. You know, and we prepare and have all the tuition and extra classes. And I had to ask myself as well, because in the midst of giving all this past year paper and everything, right? All the books that he hid, has he first hit the Bible? Has he first devoured the Bible as much as he's gone through his fractions and algebra and matter and living things? And it's a question we really need to wrestle and ask ourselves. I had to ask myself that question. Because really, we can go into autopilot mode and parent the way that we parent, or we want to parent, or our friend is parenting. And I'm not saying studying is bad, okay? I'm not saying, of course, studying is important and it's necessary. And I'm not saying that we need to be legalistic or that we have no grace to our children. But I'm saying that truly, if we take the Lord's word seriously, then we also need to re-examine and pause and think, have we gone autopilot in our parenting? Because the Lord wants you to know His command is for us to teach our children to love Him first, all the time, every time. This is a picture of my three children pre-COVID when they would go and play basketball, because Norm is an avid basketball fan, okay? He loves basketball. And this was when they were younger, when they throw the ball, right? It could barely touch the rim. It's really airball all the time, right? And we would go and play at the basketball court. But you know, this year, our two boys, they got drafted into the competitive league. So they got chosen and they went in, and now they're playing competitive basketball, both Joshua and Ben. But as they started this year, guess what? We found out that their games are all on Sundays. No! It's like, no! Nightmare, you know. And then we're like, okay, Sundays means, I mean, the games at different timings, like, but we never know, you see, because it shifts. And so both of us were resting. We're like, then how? Got church there. It's church service, how? And we really had to wrestle. And so we sat our boys down and we said, we are proud of you guys for getting into the team. We're going to be there for every single game that you play. But we need to know, it is God who first gave you the skills to play. It is God who gave you the opportunity to even be in this team. And so, if it clashes with service, and if it means we have to skip the game, then that is a decision we will have to decide as a family. Because God has to come first. It's not your basketball passion first. God has to come first. And our children understood. And they need to know that that is the way of following Jesus. In fact, the words, come follow me, is probably one of the most important phrases in the Bible. And you know, when Jesus said those words, it is not just, check, I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus. It is not that, right? Because we already read earlier what God said, love the Lord with everything, right? And so what was God really looking for? What was Jesus really looking for? A true disciple and apprenticeship with Him. It is not just Sunday Christian, whether it's for us or for our children. And what we tell our children, the values we pass down to them, will determine if they will always love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. We have to reflect, what are we saying and what are we teaching to our children? And I want to push this further. It is not just to your children, but I believe to their peers and to an entire generation. In Joel chapter 1 verse 3, it says, tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. Can you see how many generations there are? If we get it right in this generation, can you see the ripple effect that's going to happen to many around them and to their peers as they go into school, as they become salt and light of the world? And again, I'm not saying we've got this all right, but I want to share this story. This story that happened the end of last year, where our eldest Joshua, he did well in school. Thank you, assessment books and your paper. Thank you, Jesus. He did well in school, and he got some popular bookstore vouchers, as you know, the school gave it to them as one of like their prize, right? And so we went to popular bookstore, and I told him, you know, pick a book on what you want. And so he went to pick this book. It's called The World's Worst Pets. Okay? Don't know why my son picked this book, but he picked this book. And there was a series, you know, The World's Worst, like different things lah. And so he picked this bowl, and because it was a gift, right, from, I mean, he won it in that sense from the popular vouchers, I said, okay, you like this book, let's just get this book. So he went home, and he devoured the book. It's a book with many short stories inside. It's a best-selling author. And then he reached to this page. He came to me and said, Mama, this book not good, eh? I said, why? He said, this character got two daddies inside. Same character, two daddies. One called Papa, the other called Daddy. I was like, what? I read the page. I was like, it's true. And I'm so glad that we had this conversation with our children way before. That with the Holy Spirit's discernment and power and Holy Spirit living in them, that when they read on their own, they can discern for themselves what is right and what is wrong in the eyes of the Lord. And so he was the one who came and bring it up to me. And I was so blessed, you know. I was like, well, praise the Lord. Thank God for Holy Spirit speaking to you, Josh. And then I had a choice. In fact, I had three choices. First choice, it's okay, Josh. Different people, different values. Never mind, just read the next chapter, okay? Just skip. One option. Second option, okay, stop reading. This book not good. Stop reading. Put on the shelf. Third option, which is the option I took, I felt something stir in me, and I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, you have to speak up. Not just for your child, but for this generation. And so I decided I would write into popular. I mean, some of you will be like, wow, you're very extra, and I'm going to write into popular. But you know what? I felt the Holy Spirit stir in me to say, if you don't do this, you will be complicit to a generation that will not know the Lord's ways and that will think that this is okay. And so I wrote into popular. I didn't know whether they would respond. But true enough, they were very quick to respond. They reviewed my request. And I said that this book has this story that is not aligned to Singapore's family values. And I would like them to review this book because it's readily available on the shelf and open for browsing in the children's section. And so they reviewed the book and they came back and they said, we agree with your assessment. And we are going to now wrap the book up so that it cannot be browsed. And we will paste a parental sticker on the cover. Praise the Lord. Right? Praise the Lord. Because it wasn't just for my child, but the many other children who are going to be exposed to this book. And the many parents who now can think twice before they choose to purchase this book. And I was just, you know, the Lord just spoke to me and said, all of us can make that difference. Whether to our children, to their friends, to speak what is upon the Lord's heart. And I want to just, maybe the band can start hosting, and I want to just, you know, share with you maybe three ways, maybe after you heard all this, right, how the situation is in Singapore. How maybe in your families right now, maybe God has really placed in your mind your children or your niece or your nephew or even your youth who's under you or your children who's under you. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, like, how? Jiala already lah. My kids are gone, you know? Or I'm not sure what I can do. And I don't know, but I understand what you're saying, Pastor Debs. I understand that we need to take action. But where to start? How to start? Right? I don't have a library book to, you know, to write in the popular. Where do I start? I want to say it is not doom and gloom, guys. Because with Jesus, there is always hope. There is always hope, right? There's always hope in Jesus, but we need to recognize first the mandate that He has placed on us. We need to recognize the responsibility we carry and what we're going to do with it, right? We may see statistics of no religion increasing. We may see our young people saying that they are not coming to church, but you know what? You can make that difference to turn that around. You can make a difference to turn that around, whether it's in your homes, whether it's in your church, because ministry is not just must happen here. Ministry happens everywhere, in your conversations, at the playground, at home, in school. Maybe you're a teacher, I don't know. And I want to just share with you three things. Three things that I hope will encourage you. That what my family is doing and what our church is doing, that will encourage you maybe to consider doing some of these. That we will take a step closer to helping our younger generation know who He is. The first, create a culture of God at home. Tell stories of God. You know, in my family, right, we have this thing at the dinner table. It's called O-O-O-I-I-T-T-T. O-I-T. is oi, oi, oi. One interesting thing. Every day at dinner, we must all share one interesting thing that happened to us. Could be a meeting that we went to. It could be the children hearing a joke from their friend. It could be the best food they had in the canteen. They must share one interesting thing. Everybody must share. And in that one interesting thing, we give God glory. We give God praise. Well, praise God for the best ramen in school, 50 cents only. Or praise God for a good meeting that we had. And we bring God into everything that happens during the day. And as we pass down stories to our children, they will know how good He is. In Psalm 78, it says, He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. The Bible is full of stories and testimonies. Why? Because God knows that's what the next generation will need to know who He is. The second I want to say, don't just pass down valuables to our children, pass down values. You know, as parents, one of our KPI in that sense, right? We want to prepare our children for the future, and it's very important. So what do? Buy insurance. Make investment mature at 21 years old. Give assessment book. Learn all the skills. It's good. It's important. We do that as well. But beyond valuables that we leave to them, we must pass down the values to them. God's values to them. This is a picture of our eldest Joshua when he was 4 years old. He's always like music. From 2 years old, he'd pick up a Toys R Us plastic guitar, right? He'll just stand on there and play. At 4 years old, he said, Mama, Dada, I want to learn piano. I said, okay. You want to learn, is it? Okay. He asked, we didn't ask. We only can play Spotify, okay? We don't know how to play anything else. Okay? He went to learn piano. For about, I think, 3 or 4 years, he learned the ropes and he learned the skills. But praise the Lord for a very wise husband. After about 3-4 years, he said, okay, Josh is done. He's got his foundations there. Now we need to pivot. From learning piano to learning worship. Because the Lord gave our son this gift of music, not for him to know how to only play Yankee Doodle came to town, okay? It's meant for worship. And this is him. Just in Good Friday this year. So what happened? After we stopped his lesson, he went to apprentice under our youth pastor, Pastor Joel. Amazing youth pastor, amazing worship leader. And he learned the heart of worship with his skills and his talent. And I love this picture. You know why? You see Pastor Joel and Mavis, they are our youth pastor on the cajon and on the guitar. They are the adults. You see the guy at the back, the one in black, he's our young adult. You see the girl in front, the one with the white cap, she's our youth. And you see Joshua, he's our children. 4 generations in one picture. As they busked on Orchard Road on Good Friday, they were raising funds for our special needs ministry. They were doing the work of the Lord with their praise. And as they were praising and worshiping secular songs, Christian songs, it's for them to know they have this talent to give God glory for His work, not for just for them to feel good that they can play well, but to know everything must belong to the Lord. Everything. And this is us, just me, Norm, and Josh, just at our recent conference, the next picture, where both of us were preaching a message. And if you can spot Josh, right at the corner, his head, not even higher than the piano. And he was hosting worship as we were just ministering to the people. Because our children are not gifted in violin, piano, karate, swimming, whatever it is, right? They're not just gifted for themselves, but they will use it for the Lord's glory, right? We pay all the tuition fees, right? Must be for the Lord. Lead them into that space of worship, that it is all Him, that they will love Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Last but not least, we must empower the children. In Psalms, it says the children are like arrows. Fire them out, guys. Empower the children that they may encounter God. You know why? Because God has no grandchildren. God only has children. They must know Him for themselves. It's not a borrowed faith. My mommy Christian, so I also Christian. No. I am a Christian because I know who my Abba Father is. And so what happened last year our church, we said we're going to let the children aged 5 to 12 years old run the whole church Christmas service. For 3 months, we journeyed with them. No joke, okay, guys. I lead the journey ministry. I was like, but for 3 months, they encountered the Lord every single moment. They led the whole thing. For 3 months, we walked with them. What did we do? The next picture, we have them pray and we ask God. God, they ask God, give me a picture, God, for someone that I will bless. And so they did prophetic art. This is Raphael. He was 6 years old, right? And he wrote and he prayed and he said, you are brave enough for going through your difficulty. And that's Dylan. He wrote, he drew, and you can't see it there, but family is like a trophy that God wants you to take care of. And the children prayed and the children drew. And we printed out all these cards that they drew over 3 months and gave it out to all the people who came as blessing prophetic cards for them. The children went on the streets to invite people to come. The next slide. He invited, they came, they drew, they made their own invite card. They go. But before they go, they pray. And they saw God move. They saw God move for themselves. They drew the gospel tracts and people believe in the Lord. And so they could see how they would be a personal testimony for the Lord. And on the actual day, right? So many things will happen 3 months. On the actual day, our children led worship. The next slide. Our children would dance. The next slide. Our children would act. They would rehearse. They would manage the production, the AV. They would do everything. And you know what? It's not like come and play. Oh, so cute, children, so cute. It wasn't about being cute. It is about them encountering the God every moment. Because leading up, they knew, I don't know how to do the AV. I don't know how to go on the streets to share. But they knew, if I pray, God will be with me. They will encounter God for themselves. We have to stop shielding them, thinking that they're too young. But we can come alongside them and say, you can do it. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is in you. Because the Holy Spirit is in you. This boy, his name is Elijah. He's 12. And he, out of two, he and another girl, 7 years old, both of them preached our Christmas message. And it wasn't so much what he preached on that day, but it was the journey leading up to it. He was scratching. He said, why did I sign up for this? Because everything, they choose and they sign up. Why did I sign up? And his mom told him, God must have put something in you when you wrote your name down and he said you want to preach, right? So let's pray. And so for 3 months, he journeyed with his parents. And as he journeyed, he recalled all the testimonies that God has been doing in his life, from being in the soccer team to school and everything. And that sealed his personal relationship with the Lord. 2 months after that, he went to India on a mission trip at 12 years old. He went there, he did what he was doing here. He prayed, he praised, he saw the blind see, he shared the gospel and saw people saved. He has a personal faith with the Lord. He has a personal relationship that he will never forget. The Bible says, train the ways, the children in the ways of the Lord, and they will never depart from it, right? This is us training our children. Let them encounter the Lord for themselves. And I end off with this. You know, there is a window, and with the window is now. All of us have watched a relay match before, you know. One person holding the baton, 4 by 100 meters, and you're holding the baton. That's us. We're holding the baton today, and we are running our race. We're running the best we can. We are so good at running, right? We're serving, we're being faithful, and we're running that race. And guess what? The children, the young adults, the youth, their hands are out there and they're waiting for us to pass the baton. And you know what? There is a window. Because there is this zone called the exchange zone. It is a 20-meter window. You drop the baton, you are disqualified. You pass the baton after the exchange zone, you are also disqualified. That window is now. That window is every day. That window is every conversation we have with our young people. Don't wait. Don't wait to say, still have time. No, the window is now. Don't wait for your pastors to tell you what to do. Don't wait for your children ministry leaders, your youth leaders. But as parents, we can make a difference to our children and the children out there. Because a generation needs to know who the Lord is. They need to know. And I just want to invite, you know, all of us right now, Maybe it's someone that the Lord has already placed in your heart as you hear this message. Maybe it's your children and you go, God, teach me to parent them. Maybe it's your youth. I don't know who it is. But God is stirring your heart. He's stirring my heart. And I believe the Holy Spirit is here. He's here. He's telling you, time to take the baton. Run with the baton. But don't just run on your own. Know the generation needs you. And know that you can make a difference. I want to just invite all of us to just rise. All of us to just rise. And we're going to ask the Lord. Spend a few minutes. Just ask the Lord. Spend the next 30 seconds. Ask the Lord. Recommit ourselves to the Lord. Recommit our parenting to the Lord. Recommit our grandparenting to the Lord. And says, God, we need you, Lord. We need you. Maybe you're a youth leader. Whoever you are, ask the Lord, God, what is it I need to do? God, how can I run with my children? How can I run with my youth? How can I run with the generation? God, make me count. Count me in, Lord. Count me in. Count me in for your message. Count me in for your glory. God, don't let Singapore, don't let our families have an extinction of faith. God, that cannot happen. Spend a few moments with the Lord. And I just want to ask, you know, if anybody feels like, I want to rededicate. Maybe you're a parent, you're a grandparent. You say, I want to rededicate. I want to recommit my parenting. I want to recommit my grandchildren to you, God. I want to encourage you, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. I want to encourage you to take that step of faith to come out. To come out and say, God, I want to put my children on the altar once again. God, come out. I want to encourage you, just step out of your seat and just come. And says, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to parent, but God, you know how to parent. God, I understand. I understand how the pastors and the leaders can be up front here to pray. God, I understand, God, what you're saying. I hear you, Lord, that this generation, I will run with my children. I will not delegate this anymore. May the names on your heart that the Lord has put. Maybe you're a ministry leader, youth ministry, young adults ministry, children's ministry. And you say, God, I see the flock. And God, I see the flock. God, I see the generation that need me. I want to encourage you to raise your hand and say, God, I surrender this ministry to you. God, I surrender the sheep to you. God, they are your sheep. They are your sheep. God, help us to be faithful shepherds. I want to encourage you as well, if that's you, to come out. To come out and dedicate that to the Lord once again. It's not our ministry. It is the Lord's ministry. It is the Lord's children. We dedicate it back to Him once again. It is not too late. It is not too late. Maybe you're out there, you say, my children, they are old already. Or they are not attending church anymore. It's not too late, guys. It's not too late. The Lord is saying it's not too late. Come, come to the altar. Come. You are not way past the exchange zone. You are not. You are not past the exchange zone. Come. Because the Lord says there is always hope in Him. In our conversations, maybe our children are already adult. And you go like, cannot. No, the Lord says can. He says can. Your children may be adult. Your children may be young adult. Maybe they have their own families already. It's okay. Come and intercede for your children. Come and intercede for the generation that needs you.